Okay, well, this is a follow-up to last week. Last week we talked about, we did a message called In the Waiting. And so this week we're kind of following it up with one called When God Speaks. And we're talking about Job, and I'm sure the story of Job is familiar to a lot of you, but we'll kind of dig into it together here. But kind of the main idea of what we're going to be talking about today is that Job, he endured these unspeakable sufferings and losses, and he's crying out to God, and he's enduring accusations from his friends, and one day God finally speaks. He finally responds, but God didn't take the time really to address Job's suffering. So we'll address questions like, is God callous to human suffering and to pain and humanity? And does God dismiss our personal pain by changing the subject from our cries of desperation to his sovereignty and power? And what we're going to discover in this story is that Job had a personal encounter with God the Father, and Job heard God's voice, and he found that God's presence was enough. And so one of the incredible things about the Bible is it's this written history of men and women encountering God for the first time. It's a story of people meeting God and walking with God. And this is important because the Bible illustrates many unique ways that God would interact with us. And so today, someone's going to encounter God for the first time. That's exciting, isn't it? Okay, goodness sakes. Whew. Okay, thank you, Tammy. Goodness. It's exciting. Someone today, somewhere, will encounter God for the first time. Right? But the cool thing about this is that someone also will encounter God for probably the thousandth time today. And that's exciting, too. And God is always speaking and loving and intervening and helping and caring for us. And God's consistently revealing himself and guiding us back to him. He wants a relationship with us, and we see this throughout all of Scripture. And God wants a relationship with you personally. He loves you personally. He loves it when you pray and then trust that he hears you. He loves it when you read Scripture and let him speak into your life. He doesn't love you because you pray or read Scripture. He just loves you. And so when we pray and when we read Scripture or read our Bibles, we give ourselves a chance to hear God speak to us. And that's what God wants. He wants us to hear him speak. And so today, we're going to look at the book of Job found in the Old Testament. Now, we're picking up toward the end of the story where Job encounters God for the very first time. So this first section I think you just saw on your screen is Job's background. So before we read this passage, I want to offer some background. Otherwise, it's going to be like walking into a movie theater and picking a movie that's just about to end, and we'll see the ending of it, but not really appreciate because the first 80% we missed. So I'm going to try and summarize that 80% really quickly. Job was a righteous man. He was extremely rich in the beginning of this story, but due to a test, he lost all of his wealth and all of his loved ones. And he ends up in a pile of dirt covered in painful sores. And then it gets worse. His three friends show up and they start accusing him and accusing him of doubt and disbelief and putting that onto Job's life. And so Job maintains his integrity toward God for a short time, and he begins to confront the Lord about the injustice of his situation and also about the injustice that he sees everywhere in the world. He's asking questions like, why would God let these terrible things happen? Ever been there? Yeah. Yeah, me too. Job accuses the Lord of hurting the innocent, and he accuses the Lord of injustice. And in chapter 9, verses 22 and 23, he says, God destroys both the blameless and the wicked. He mocks the despair of the innocent. It's a pretty tough charge, right? So Job argues back and forth with his three friends, and he wonders why he's suffering and why he fell into this grinding poverty and why his body is afflicted with sores and why he lost his loving family. The Bible doesn't really tell us the length of time in which these events take place, but the sense is that it's over a significant amount of time. And so Job has fallen into this deep pit of despair, and as far as he's concerned, it's because God is unjust and uncaring. Now, here are some of the other things that we know or that scholars say about Job. So the book of Job itself is one of the oldest books in the Bible, and Job is believed to be one of the early fathers of the human race. And so Job lived before Moses, meaning he had no Ten Commandments to guide him. Job wasn't a Hebrew or a Jewish or an Israelite because he predates all of them. He had no indwelling Holy Spirit, and he had no Bible. Job had very little, if not kind of nothing, to go on when it came to knowing the one true God. And so Job had never read a Bible. He had no theologically trained pastor to offer spiritual guidance. He had no permanent indwelling of the Spirit. He had no way to lead him into truth about God. He had no Hebrew or Jewish faith or traditions and no laws and no knowledge of any of that stuff. So Job spends most of the first 37 chapters in this book in the waiting, like we talked about last week, just waiting for God to respond, questioning, lamenting, and crying out. And he begins to make false assumptions about God because of the injustice that he's suffering and because of the injustice that he sees everywhere around the world. And then finally, in chapter 38, God decides to respond and he answers Job. So we're going to look together at verses 1 through 11 in chapter 38. It should be on your screen if you don't have your Bibles. It says this: "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On where or on what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come no farther, and here is where your proud waves halt?'" So that's going to lead us into our second kind of section today. God speaks when and how we wouldn't expect. God speaks when and how we don't expect. So finally, right, after 37 chapters, after Job's lost his family, his wealth, all of his livestock, everything, right, he's in a pile of dirt covered in boils or sores or however, and God finally speaks to him. Isn't it interesting that the Lord chose to speak to Job through the storm? And what storm? We don't really know. It doesn't say much about it. But somehow God was in the storm and found it appropriate to speak to Job this way. I wonder if Job expected this. I wonder if he's sitting there enduring the pain of his open sores, and then the skies darken and the winds pick up and suddenly there's rain and blowing wind. And I'm sure right before he sees all this coming, probably out of the west, and you know what he's thinking, right? He's in that pile of dirt, and he's all covered in sores, and he's thinking, this can't get any worse. Right? There's no way this can get worse. And then all of a sudden, a storm rolls in. But soon after the storm rolls in, God speaks to Job out of that storm. See, God often speaks to us when we aren't expecting it. Sometimes he speaks to us in the shower or on a walk or while we listen to music. In this case, God spoke to Job. As far as we know, Job wasn't in the midst of any religious practice, right? He wasn't at church or you know, he didn't have a Bible to go by, or he wasn't doing, you know, he wasn't in the temple or anywhere else. It was storming and God spoke. God speaks to us in many ways, and there's another story, a famous one about this in 1 Kings, when God speaks the totally opposite way to Elijah. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 13 says this, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" So God speaks to two different people in two totally different ways. Can you remember the first time that God spoke to you? Whether it was in a thought that you know just didn't come from you, or maybe it was an audible word. Isn't it cool that we can actually hear from God? Isn't that awesome that he's willing to speak to us and has been throughout time? Now, the second thing that we notice in this passage is in verse 2 that God kind of confirms for us is that Job is speaking words without knowledge. He speaks words without knowledge. So God speaks to Job out of this storm, and the first thing he mentions is how Job is really just doesn't know what he's talking about. Verse 2 says, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge?" You see, Job's questioning and lamenting and crying were words without knowledge. He had no Holy Spirit, he had no scripture, he had no story of Jesus. Of course, he was going to be a little off base, right? He had no Jewish tradition, no stories, no Moses, no commandments, nothing to base knowledge of God around. So in many ways, what God is about to say to Job is God's personal introduction. And because of God being a relational God, he makes his introduction in the form of a question so that later Job's going to have to speak back to him. So God is this relational God, and he's introducing himself this way, and he's wanting this back and forth conversation that's conducive to relationships, both human and divine. So in verse 3, he says, "I will question you, and you shall answer me." Another question around how God is speaking to Job is God callous to this human suffering? Is God callous to Job's pain or to our pain? And here's what God says to Job first. God talks about how he created the world. He says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid the cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." Second, God talks about how he created the ocean and then put boundaries around them. He said, "Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? And when I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, and when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt.'" So that's where our passage ends for today, is verse 11, but God continues for a couple more chapters, and he's speaking to Job about creation. It's a really interesting read if you have the time later today, but this is kind of, he's kind of telling Job and giving him information about himself and letting him know that his ways are beyond our understanding. His ways are beyond what Job can understand. Now, one thing that I noticed, I hope you did too, is that Job, like, this still doesn't change the fact that Job is in real, like, pain, right? He still lost everything. He lost everything and cried out to God about the injustice of it all, and God doesn't even address it. Ugh, isn't that, it doesn't feel good, does it? God only talks about his sovereignty and his power, and God talks about the earth and the oceans, and why doesn't God respond to Job's suffering? Why doesn't God respond to Job's pain and the loss of his loved ones? Or Job has legitimate questions, right? I would have questions too. he has legitimate gripes. Is God uncaring because of this? Are Job's accusations about God correct? Does God, because God doesn't address the situation, he really doesn't offer any explanation at all. This is frustrating, right, and disappointing, but at the same time, there's a truth to uncover here, which takes us to our third point. Number three is that to hear God speak is to know his presence. To hear God speak is to know his presence. Now, the kingdom principle here is that to hear God is to encounter his presence. We'll say that again. When we hear God speak, we are encountering God himself. So God speaks to us in many ways, whether it be out of a storm or a whisper, or through other people, or through prayer or worship or scripture or sermons or friends. There's all kinds of ways that God can speak to us. When we hear a word from God that we cannot speak to ourselves, we have encountered the presence of God. And this is what's happening here between Job and God. Job knows nothing about the one true God, and God shows up and he speaks out of a storm. God is there. He's present. He's with Job. Now, this isn't to discount what God says, right? What he says to Job is important too, but the fact that we can hear God in our hearts and in our minds, that is comforting and it's guiding. So consider these verses where God promises to be with us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for your Lord, your God, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Or Jesus in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So even though God didn't directly address Job's suffering and his pain, something did happen in Job's mind and his heart as a result of hearing the one true God. So if we fast forward to chapter 42, this is kind of after God's explanation, we hear Job finally get to reply to God. So this is verses 1 through 6 in chapter 42. It says this, "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too powerful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" He's singing a different tune now, right? So while God didn't address necessarily Job's concerns, Job's heart and his mind have been changed about his position. And then Job repents, meaning he turns away from his ignorance, right? Job wasn't necessarily in the wrong. All these tragedies had happened to him, but he repented of his ignorance and he turned towards the one true God. And so that brings us to this kind of differentiation here. Many people know about God. Many people know about God. So Job went from hearing about God to a personal encounter with God. Now, this was life-changing for Job. And when we move from an about God faith to a personal encounter with the Holy One, our lives are never the same either. You see, an about God faith is one where, like Job, our ears have heard of God, and we've heard sermons about him, and we've read books about him, and people we love respect and talk about God. We've heard a lot of information and correct doctrine, but information about God and correct doctrine are not the same thing as having an encounter with God. And so I don't want us to be people who know stuff about God, right? I want us to be a church of people who truly know God through direct experience of his goodness and of his love. Which brings us to the people that know God, right? So some people know about God, and some people know God. Do you want to be a person who truly knows God? I know I do. Paul, take Paul for example. He knew a lot about God, right? He knew everything about God. It was his livelihood, right? But then he had an encounter with God on the road leading to Damascus. He heard God's voice, and his life was changed. Or take the two people walking along the road to Emmaus. They knew a few things about God, but then encountered the risen Christ as they traveled. They heard God speak to them, and their hearts felt like they were burning. And here Job is having a day, right? It's not a good day. It's a painful day. It's ordinary, and it's kind of his new normal. And then a storm rolls in, and within this storm is the presence of God who speaks to Job. Now, maybe you can think back to that time that you had your first encounter with God, and you went from knowing about God or hearing about God or knowing some things about God to actually knowing who God is. Now, these encounters with God that we've talked about today, they weren't in a building, right? They weren't in a church or in a temple or during religious services, right? Job didn't have any of that stuff anyway, but Paul, the people in the on the road to Emmaus, all these other examples we see in Scripture, they weren't during religious times. They weren't during church, right? It's important that we're listening outside of these areas. They occurred as people were going about their business of the day. The same thing can happen to you and me. So if we're in the waiting, the question is, are we listening? Are we paying attention? Are we ready to hear what God's going to say to us? And so as we close today, I just want to encourage you to listen for the voice of God in your life. When you hear God's voice, however you hear it, know that God is present. Know that God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. There's nothing different about you and any of these people in Scripture that have encountered God, who were going about their day just minding their business and suddenly had an encounter with the one true God. He wants that for you as well. So don't miss it when God speaks. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your voice. We thank you for speaking. God, so many times it feels like we're just stuck in the waiting. We've been waiting for you to respond for so long. Sometimes it's because we're not listening. Help us to be attentive, not just here on a Sunday morning for an hour, but everywhere we go, everything we do. Help us to be attentive to your voice. Again, we thank you that in the waiting, you are God and we are not. And we thank you for when you finally speak that you are God and we are not. Just like you told Job, there are things that we just cannot understand and cannot wrap our minds around. But we just want to be people that know you. We want to be people that know who God is, not just things about God. So help us to do that this week. As we leave this place, we just ask that you would go with us, that we could live in this grace that you've poured out to us, even amidst tragedy, amidst pain and suffering and lamenting and crying out to you, that we would still live in your grace and pour your grace out to others, just as you did for us in the midst of pain and suffering. We can't thank you enough for that this morning. Go with us as we leave this place. Help us to be that beacon of light and hope in our community. We thank you for the work you're doing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's hear it.